Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Good morning. My name is Daryl, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Grupo Lala's third quarter results conference call. Please note that today's conference is being recorded and will be available for a replay. I'll now turn the conference over to Mr. David Gonzalez, Grupo Lala's Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, operator, and good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us to review Lala's third quarter 2020 financial and operating results. The related press release was just issued after yesterday's market close and has been posted to the investor relations section of our website, lala.com.mx. As always, we have presentation slides to aid today's discussion. You can find the slides in the same location of our website, along with an updated fundamentals spreadsheet. Participating on our call today are Arquímedes Celis, Grupo Lala's Chief Executive Officer, and Alberto Arellano, our Chief Financial Officer. Please move to slide 2. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that the discussion during the call today is likely to contain forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements are statements other than those which are historical in nature. All forward-looking statements are subject to significant uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially from those suggested by the statements. It is important to also note that these statements include expectations and assumptions which will be shared related to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Specifically, there is significant uncertainty about the duration and impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Lala's results could therefore change at any time, and the impact of COVID-19 on the company's business results and outlook is a best estimate based on the information available as of today's date. Now, please move to slide 3. As is customary, Mr. Celis will begin our prepared remarks, starting with an update on the measures we have taken to address the risks posed by the COVID-19 pandemic, including how we have been assisting local communities throughout Mexico, Brazil, the US, and Central America. Next, he will discuss the progress we have made with regard to the strategic priorities that we set when Mr. Celis resumed his role as the company's Chief Executive Officer. Following a brief overview of Lala's third quarter performance, Mr. Celis will then review our financial and operating results in each of our 4 geographic markets, including an update on the various strategic initiatives within each of them. Mr. Arellano will follow with a closer look at our performance during the quarter, as well as an update on Lala's financial position, including measures we have taken recently to further bolster our balance sheet strength, as well as increase financial flexibility in support of our growth strategy. With that said, I will now turn the call over to Mr. Celis.
Thank you, David. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining our results call. As we continue to navigate the COVID-19 crisis, we hope all of you listening today and your families are staying safe and healthy. Our thoughts remain with all of those impacted during these challenging times, and we remain focused on our most important responsibility, which is to protect our team. Ensuring their health, safety, and well-being continues to be our highest priority. I will begin with slide 4. Unfortunately, we do not yet know when the COVID-19 pandemic will end, nor how long and to what extent it will continue to adversely impact the economies of the countries where Lala operates. However, we remain a resilient company and are well positioned to grow profitably. Even more so, in fact, as we successfully achieve all the goals we had established at the beginning of the year, and despite the unprecedented challenges of the pandemic. I will expand on this in a moment. Lala's resilience is due to many distinct competitive advantages, as you can see on this slide. We are one of Latin America's most respected consumer staples companies, and our customers' dedication to and trust in the Lala brand is particularly evident in today's demanding environment. Consumers gravitate to our trusted brands as an assurance of the quality, safety, value, and comfort that our products deliver. Further, Lala's brand portfolio addresses all consumer segments, demographics, and consumption moments. We are an agile company. Thanks to the corrective measures that we took during the last 9 months, our operations are now able to rapidly respond to changing demand levels and shifting consumer preferences and buying habits. Lala's streamlined and focused strategy, our commitment to improving execution, and a consumer-centric business model have been at the heart of our strategic priorities that we set late last year. These changes serve us well as we face the unprecedented challenges of the pandemic. I am extremely proud of the agility and commitment of our various teams in effectively adapting to these challenges. An unmatched refrigerated distribution network enables access to all channels, allowing us to capitalize on emerging consumer trends. We also benefit from a strong and resilient farm to point of sale supply chain, which guarantees product availability and which we have also reinforced during the last 9 months. And throughout our supply chain, we continue to maintain extremely high safety standards that protect our employees, clients, and the people who consume our products. It is important to note that these standards have ensured uninterrupted operation throughout the pandemic. We have been operating in this challenging environment for 6 months now, and our teams continue to exhibit commitment, determination, and resilience. They adapted to heightened safety protocols to get our products to customers and consumers across the Americas, and they have also been there for one another and their communities. I am also sincerely grateful to our sales team and their close partnerships with our retail customers during these uncertain times. I truly believe the level of collaboration and transparency that has been displayed during this difficult and complicated period is creating an environment that will help build and grow our businesses together well into the future. As a final point here, we have continued to increase our financial flexibility and further strengthen our balance sheet, allowing us to maintain Lala's strong market positions, protect our growing margins, and preserve liquidity. Please turn to slide 5. We have effectively adapted to what is often described as the new normal, and we will continue to adapt as necessary. As I have noted, a top priority remains the safety of those who work within Lala's supply chain and, of course, the end consumer. By guaranteeing food safety, we maintain the confidence of the consumers and protect our portfolio of brands. Our standards continue to exceed global best practices. Among the measures we have implemented to maintain the continuity of our supply chain is proactive risk mitigation. We continue to closely monitor our markets and operations, remaining alert to any new threat that could arise. Another measure has been protecting Lala's financial health. In line with our plan, we continue to make substantial progress in restoring the margins of our Mexico business, our largest. We also further reduced the working capital loans that we took out earlier in the year as a temporary measure to preserve the liquidity of this business. And as Alberto will explain in his presentation, we refinance a portion of our debt to extend maturities, as well as take advantage of a favorable interest rate environment. Although we have been focused on executing against our strategic priorities, we have not forgotten those who have been severely impacted by the health epidemic. Through Fundación Lala, we continue to aid affected communities. To date, we have donated more than 2.2 million liters of milk, assisting 640,000 individuals across Mexico. We have also extended our support to Brazil, the U.S., and Central America, making food donations through local and regional relief organizations in these geographies. Please turn to slide 6. I'm proud to say that we delivered what we had promised during our first quarter earnings call. Within 9 months, we managed to stabilize our Mexico business while getting its normalized margin back above 13%, an increase of 520 basis points versus year-end 2019 on a normalized basis. And keep in mind that we accomplished this despite the many challenges and costs associated with the COVID-19 pandemic. By getting back to the basics, we have put the legacy issues largely behind us. We took a highly streamlined and focused approach, eliminating distractions and inefficiencies in our supply chain. As such, Mexico is now growing at a more appropriate profit level. Moreover, stabilizing this business and recovering profitability was a complex task, which required corrective measures on multiple fronts. By right-sizing the overall business and restructuring our operations in Mexico, we reduced the cost structure and have created a much leaner business. We also have tighter control of our costs now. Equally important, our demand planning has shown significant improvement, as we emphasize on sell-out, not sell-in, and maintaining better coordination between marketing and the point of sale. As a result, we have a far more stable supply chain and have eliminated shortages with inventories that are now more in equilibrium with demand levels. In addition to substantially improving product availability, and therefore our ability to meet demand, this has also helped reduce waste levels, which are now their lowest in our company's history. Further, we continued streamlining Mexico's products portfolio, eliminating more unprofitable SKUs, while maintaining a disciplined innovation process, having reduced product launches to 7 per year versus 25 last year. We believe that less is more in order to be truly effective and competitive in the marketplace. We have narrowed our pipeline of new products to those that are bigger, better, and bolder in terms of growth and margin contribution, such as the recent launch of a family-sized Greek yogurt portfolio that is featured on the current slide. To put all of these into perspective, CapEx to sales fell to its lowest level in 6 years at 2.4% over the last 9 months. Continuity of our growth strategy also remains in terms of leveraging prior product investments, such as cold cuts and plant-based beverages, with both categories growing at double digits. And although we have met our strategic priorities, we still see more opportunities to grow and operate more efficiently. Our enthusiasm is only tempered by the economic risks that we still see in the current environment. Please turn to slide 7. Our success in turning around Lala's Mexico business was largely behind our third quarter performance. Mexico and Brazil volumes drove a nearly 11% increase in consolidated branded sales. Excluding a one-time tax expense in Mexico, which Alberto will explain later, our consolidated normalized margin was 11.2%, which reflects a 110 basis points sequential improvement. Our Mexico normalized margin expanded 160 basis points year over year to 13.7%. Normalized net income reached 640 million pesos, in line with last year. Nevertheless, this figure is not fully comparable, as last year was benefited by the one-time legal settlement of Brazil. During the quarter, we continue improving our working capital, which was negative for the first time in a consolidated basis, reaching minus 0.3% due to negative working capital in Mexico and improvements across our other regions. Our leverage ratio ticked up again sequentially. On a normalized basis, it was 3.3 times and 3.5 times on a reported basis. Late in the quarter, we successfully issued 4.6 billion pesos of local bonds, which let us extend our debt maturities while maintaining our cost of debt. Now, I will discuss the performance of each of our businesses, starting with Mexico on slide 9. Volume drove strong branded sales during the quarter, with solid demand from both traditional and large format retailers. We continue to see similar trends in consumer behavior that have evolved over the last 5 months, and we expect some to become permanent in nature. One such trend is eating more often at home in order to shelter in place and to save money during the current economic crisis. These new behaviors, coupled with some consumer discomfort with dining out, are driving an increase and sustained preference for cooking at home. Shoppers are looking for quality and value, which has supported the solid performance of our Lala and Nutri brands in the premium, mainstream, and value segments. They also continue to make fewer store visits and purchase more during each one. This behavior has been driving demand for UHT milk, cheese, cream, and butter categories, while purchases of on-the-go presentation have not surprisingly declined. Our robust supply chain is very well positioned to meet higher demand levels, ensuring we are flexible enough to meet these shifts in consumer demand and do so cost effectively. To offset cost inflation, we began raising prices in both the traditional and big box channels during the third quarter, and we expect to see the full benefit of the new pricing in the fourth quarter of this year. In support of small retailers, we are participating in Tiendita Cerca, a program that donates bicycles for use in home deliveries, which also has the benefit of helping Mexico citizens stay at home more often during the pandemic. Please turn to slide 10. As I noted earlier, the corrective measures that we implemented earlier this year, from our factories to points of sale, are driving Mexico's margin recovery. Excluding the one-off tax expense that I mentioned before, the EBITDA margin expanded 160 basis points versus last year and 180 basis points sequentially. Mexico's profitability is now back within our target levels. However, as I said before, we still continue looking for ways to be more efficient as we pursue growth opportunities. Please turn to slide 11 to review the performance of our Brazil business. Volume also drove revenue in Brazil, with branded sales increasing 25.5% during the quarter. Like Mexico, increasing at-home consumption fueled our sales, mostly requeijão, cheese, spreads, milk, and large presentation yogurts. During the quarter, our food service business remained uninterrupted and showed encouraging signs of recovery. We are attracting new clients at a faster pace than the market, which is contributing to the recovery in this part of our Brazilian business. Renewed demand in this market is a proxy for an improving economy in Brazil. However, the rate at which it could recover is difficult to estimate. We would expect the recovery in this area of the business to be more gradual and take time, as restaurants and other food service venues continue to be largely closed or operating under capacity limitations, and consumers remain reluctant to dine out. As our Parmesan cheeses have reached maturity, we have been selling more of this product as another way to capitalize on the increasing trend of at-home dining. In fact, our capacity is driving double-digit growth within this category. Please turn to slide 12. The increase in costs continues to pressure Brazil's margin, which remained at 5% levels during the quarter. This was mainly due to further increases in the price of raw milk in this market, up 41% year on year to a historical record. Also impacting our margin was a nearly 38% increase in the price of soybean oil, which was affected by the 28% depreciation of the country's real. Successful price negotiations with retailers enable us to raise prices at the end of the quarter in select categories, which along with those implemented earlier in the year are expected to partially offset cost inflation. Further, similar to the measures we took in Mexico, improved sales and operations planning in Brazil has reduced costly product returns and also enable us to manage spending on rented display spaces more efficiently. We continue to make operational improvements within Lala's Brazil business, including our distribution system. This is enabling us to successfully penetrate those underserved wide spaces in Brazil, which we believe our brands can own due to our unique product offering. We are therefore leveraging our capacity. Lastly, on this slide, we are increasing production capacity in order to expand our food service portfolio in Brazil. Please turn to slide 13 for a review of U.S. performance. Our U.S. dollar sales decreased 10.9% as lockdown guidelines and a slow recovery in consumer confidence across the country reduced demand for on-the-go products such as our drinkable yogurts. These factors also affected the food service channel, impacting co-packing revenue, while a problem in an electrical panel at our Omaha plant resulted in shortages of yogurt. As has been the case within our other markets, the trend in at-home consumption was strong during the quarter, sustaining growth of our promised land, Lala Crema and Lala UHT milk products. As a new sales driver, we have introduced a twin-pack presentation of Promised Land milk, which is shown on this slide. Lower sales, the shift in revenue mix, as well as the lost yogurt sales and higher costs related to the production halt, resulted in a negative margin for the quarter. Moving to Central America on slide 14. In U.S. dollar terms, despite COVID-19 related economic contraction, sales grew 2%. Milk growth continued, compensating sales contraction of yogurt and ice cream, and we launched a sour cream product to strengthen our Nutri brand. Despite a less profitable revenue mix, as consumers shifted to more affordable dairy categories, the region reported break-even EBITDA margin. That concludes my remarks for now. I will now turn the call over to Alberto for a closer look at our financial results.
Thank you, Archimedes. Good morning, everyone. Please turn to slide 16, which presents a breakdown of our sales by region. Volume and price increases in Mexico and Brazil drove consolidated double-digit sales growth in constant currency. On a reported basis, the appreciation of the US dollar did not compensate the depreciation of the Brazilian real, resulting on a 9.2% sales growth. Before looking at the profit picture, I will explain the cost which we incurred as a result of a one-time tax expense in Mexico. So please turn to slide 17. Following an audit by Mexico Tax Authority, which resulted in an adjustment in the amount of taxes payable for the period of 2013 and 2014, we incurred an additional 277 million pesos in taxes, which were paid during the month of July. The adjustment was related to differences in the calculation of the tax base used in those years. We have updated our numbers to avoid future variations of this nature. At the bottom of the slide, we have presented a bridge to normalized EBITDA and net income, which were 2.3 billion and 640 million pesos respectively, when excluding the tax one-off. Please turn to slide 18, which breaks down EBITDA geographically. Excluding the one-off tax expense, Mexico's margin expanded 160 basis points versus last year, representing a 180 basis points sequential increase, the third consecutive quarter expanding our margin. The latter reflects the corrective measures we have taken early during this year to stabilize operations in Mexico and to restore profitability in our business across all categories. At 5.1%, Brazil's margin decreased versus last year's quarter, when we booked the benefit of the legal settlement, which we are not normalizing in 2019 figures, due to legal disclosure restrictions. Significantly higher raw materials costs weighted on profitability in a quarter that was otherwise strong in terms of sales growth. Our U.S. margin contracted 530 basis points due to the significant decline in sales in this market, as well as higher costs streaming from the production halt at our yogurt plant back in September. Central America remained above breakeven, with margin expanding 60 basis points, with both Nicaragua and Guatemala businesses delivering positive EBITDA. Lastly, on this slide, despite the benefit from the one-off during last year in Brazil, our normalized consolidated EBITDA grew year by year. That brings us to net income on slide 19. Last year's one-time benefit also affects the comparability of these figures. Nevertheless, normalized net income for the quarter was 640 million pesos, up from 418 million pesos during Q2 of this year. Please turn to slide 20 for a discussion of funding. In addition to increasing Lala's operating efficiency, we continue to seek ways to improve balance sheet efficiency and to strengthen the financial resiliency of our business. Taking advantage of investors' current appetite for the debt of companies like ours and more favorable interest rates, we issued a 4.6 billion pesos of 7 and 3 years bond last month. We have used these proceeds to extend our debt maturities, increase financial flexibility, and lower our financing costs. As you can see on the bottom of this slide, the weighted average cost of debt has decreased to 6.4% from 8.2% at the end of last year. Please turn to slide 21, which illustrates the improvement in our maturity and profiles. Following the offering, we repaid substantial portions of our 2020 and 21 Mexican debt obligations, as shown in the upper half of the slide, effectively extending the related bond maturities out to 2023 and 27, as shown in the lower half. We also paid off the credit lines that we had drawn upon in Mexico during the second quarter as a precautionary measure. Please turn to slide 22. Our leverage ratio ticked up again this quarter to 3.5 times, with a decline in the trailing 12-month EBITDA. Based on normalized figures, our average was 3.3 times at the end of September of this year. With current sequential margin recovery, we expect leverage to continue lowering and remain committed to our goal of 2.5 times. However, as Archimedes have emphasized, the economic and consumer environments remain complex and therefore highly unpredictable. Please move to slide 23. Our management of working capital remains sound, with third quarter working capital resulting in a historically negative ratio of minus 0.3% of sales, compared to 1.6% last year, a 190 basis point progress. This improvement is due to the working capital enhancements in all regions, and mostly due to the negative working capital that we continue to generate in Mexico, as you can see on slide 24. The figure for Mexico stayed at a negative 1.6% in the third quarter. Please turn to slide 25. Our capital efficiency is also reflected in our CapEx ratio, which was 2.4% on a nine-month basis, 20 basis points below last year's level, as we continue demanding from our previous investments the expected returns on capital. I will now turn the call back over to Archimedes for his closing remarks.
Thank you, Alberto. Over the last 9 months, we have remained focused on our three strategic pillars to drive value sustainably: increasing ROIC, growing at appropriate margin levels, and concentrating on our core markets. Business resiliency and our focus on the three strategic pillars were behind the 10.8% increase in branded sales and the margin recovery that we achieved in Mexico, our largest business. We have also performed strongly from a funding perspective. We continued to manage working capital well, not just negative working capital in Mexico, but improvements in all geographies, resulting in a consolidated negative working capital. We also improved our debt profile while enhancing our financial flexibility and reducing our funding costs, thanks to a successful bond issuance, which I believe reflects the market's confidence in our strategy and ability to execute consistently. That concludes our review of our third quarter performance. Operator, please open the call for questions.
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. You may press star two to remove yourself from the queue. One moment, please, while we poll for your question. Our first questions come from the line of Fernando Olvera of Bank of America. Please proceed with your questions.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and I also hope everyone is safe and healthy. Thanks for taking my questions. I have two, if I may. The first one is related to Mexico's top line. Can you comment if there was a significant difference between the sales growth of the modern and traditional channel this quarter, and how does it compare versus 2Q? And regarding your solid volume performance, can you comment how do you expect consumption at home to keep performing the remaining of the year, and what is your initial outlook for next year? And in terms of margins, given the solid normalized EBITDA margin in Mexico of 13.7%, how should we think about margin performance in 4Q and 2021? Thank you.
Hello, Fernando. Thank you for your question. About your first question on the evolution of sales in both traditional and modern channel, we have seen a similar behavior, a similar growth. So that is based particularly because most of the traditional channel is completely reestablished once the economy is coming back to normal. The only comment that I have on the channels could be that convenience is not fully recovered, but the rest of our channels are now reestablished, and we expect to continue the same way in the coming months. About the how do we see the growth for the coming months and next year? I would say that unfortunately there are a lot of factors that couldn't allow us to be let's say to have a definite position or view on this particular issue. There are various factors like the economic recession. We are not so sure about how the reopening of the economy will continue or not. You know, COVID is still a big problem in the world, and of course in all geographies where we participate. But even though I believe that the demand is stable, and of course Lala is following all consumer behavior trends in order to be able to respond quickly in a good manner to those modifications of consumer behavior.
Great.
Yeah, if you want, I can take the third question, which was related to the margins in Mexico. And here, I believe it's important for us to understand that the different actions taken during Q1 and Q2 are pretty much now, let's say, falling into our bottom line in terms of efficiencies. I would name three. The first one is the optimization of the supply chain all across the company. As you know, last year we had some issues on push and pull in terms of products, and we have pretty much stabilized now the operations in that front, and that brings efficiencies and certainty to the supply chain, and then translates into a good service level, let's say, vis-a-vis our customers. That's the first one. The second one is we also de-escalate a lot of the expenses and additional costs which we have last year. These we did it as well in Q1 and Q2, and now we are also, let's say, surfing on the wave of this margin expansion, pretty much as those expenses are now out of our P&L. And then the third one, which was also achieved in both in the months of March and very recently with our latest price increase, was to better control the equation of cost and price. We also did a lousy work last year on ensuring that inflation could be passed through to the consumer, and this is also reflected now in this margin. So that, for me, it's important to understand these details as for us to think on the sustainability of the Mexican EBITDA margin reported in Q3.
Okay, great. Thank you, Alberto and Archimedes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next questions come from the line of Tortolero of GBM. Please proceed with your questions.
Hi, good morning, Archimedes, Beto, and David. Thanks for the space for questions and congrats on your Mexico results. My first question would be on Brazil. I would like to understand better the composition of your top line. I mean, we saw a volume increase of around 6%, but an impressive sell increase of 25% in local currency. So would you give some color on what's going on behind your price mix during the quarter? And the second one on labeling. We have seen your products out there wearing the black octagon. Could you share what have been your initial impression so far in terms of the consumer reaction? What is the base scenario in terms of the effect on volumes that you're working with?
Yes, Miguel. So your first question in terms of Brazilian top line, a couple of messages here. The first one is, as you know, 20% of our portfolio in Brazil, it's food service or professional challenge channel related. And what we've seen over the last quarters is that as the Brazilian economy continues to recover, our presence in this segment and actually a substantial increase on our client's base has helped us to mitigate the contraction on the channel. We are still not yet on the same sales in the food service channels that we were pre-COVID-19 impact, but we have been able to partially mitigate an important part of this, impact. Now, as for the in-home consumption, similarly to Mexico, this has propelled, importantly, our volume. Requeijão cheese in Brazil, together with some of the fine high-end, cheeses, Parmesan especially, have been selling double digit over the last couple of quarters now. And so that has compensated, importantly, what I was saying earlier in terms of food service. Now, the other channel in Brazil, which is more the consumption channel, has been performing fairly well in all of the different channels, internal channels. And the other, important challenge has been the cost-price equation as well. And Brazil has done, and Vigor and Lala Brazil has done a very good job on transmitting this price increase as well to the consumer in two stages, in March and most recently last month. So as you were saying, volumes came at around about 6% in Brazil, and the rest basically is the price and mix equation. So that's on your top line question on Brazil. In the case of labeling, as we have said before, this has not taken us by surprise. This is something that we have been working as a company for the last year roundabout. And the reality is that, this is an industry-wide impact, so it's not certainly something only for Lala. And on that matter, we have been working very diligently with our R&D team on making sure that we were closing those opportunities that we had in our formulas as to have the least amount of labels in our product. And what I can tell you now for fact is that less than one-third of our portfolio will contain labels. The other two-thirds would not have any impact in terms of the visibility on our products. As for your latter question on what is the potential impact of this, I think it's too early to say. At this point in time, we really have focused more on how to mitigate this from an internal standpoint. And that's basically what I can tell you about labelings.
Great. That's very clear. Thank you, Beto.
Sure, Miguel.
Thank you. Our next question has come from the line of Antonio Hernandez with Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question and congrats on your results in Mexico and Brazil. Basically, two questions. The first one is you've already published a press release on the cheese, the whole cheese headlines in Mexico. But I don't know if you could give more light on this topic. And second question would be if you're seeing any change of trends in the U.S. Within the last couple of weeks regarding it at home and food service. Any more light you can give there? Thanks.
Yes, on your first question about the cheese situation in Mexico, let me tell you that it was only one SKU of our cheese portfolio, the one that was mentioned by the authorities, and it was completely a misinterpretation by the authorities about this product. By the way, this product is now completely free of any restrictions, and it's in the market, and so we haven't been affected by this wrong decision from the authorities. So that is all. Of course, as you know, not only us but other brands were mentioned by the authorities, and unfortunately, the arguments were wrong, but that situation is now solved. The rest of our portfolio continues in the market without any problem. And you know that we are in the transition period. It will be until the 1st of December when all food should comply with these new regulations from the authorities. So that's the situation about cheese, and particularly the case with this SKU that of course represent very minimum portion of our sales.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Antonio, if you want, I can take the question on the US. I believe it's important to put the U.S., I would say, result of Q3 in perspective, because it does help to understand what has happened. The reality is that we have, I would say, a story of three tales in the U.S. The first one is 80% of our portfolio in Brazil, it's drinkable yogurt. I'm sorry,
the US,
I was talking about the U.S. 80% portfolio in the U.S., it's drinkable yogurt. And drinkable yogurt across the different regions has been one of the most affected categories behind COVID-19 because of the in-home consumption and the lack of on-the-go, let's say, sales in convenience and other challenges. And we have seen that impact in the U.S., the 20% remaining, which is pretty much our specialized milk at Promised Land, has been growing solidly and keep gaining distribution across some of the key areas in the U.S. So that's, I would say, the first explanation on how to understand the contraction of the U.S. volumes. The second one is that also we have, I would say, an important operation of co-packing with three different retailers in the U.S., and most of it is food service related. And this has also completely been reduced in terms of sales. So this second point on co-packing. And the third one was an unfortunate event we had in our Omaha plant, which is the drinkable yogurt plant, back in the month of August, September. Which was an issue we had with one of our equipment in the plant. It created an incident, and we were delivering shortage of product for close to 2 weeks. So there were orders there. We were not being able to supply them, and this affected our overall performance. We have estimated around about $1 million impact on this incident only. And all of that is recorded in Q3. So that's a little bit of the U.S. Situation right now. We are exploring and we are working on a couple of ideas and a couple of segments as to reignite growth. And an important part of that would also depend on how fast the food service and how fast the economic recovery it's been seen in the States.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, and stay safe.
Thank you. Our next question has come from the line of Felipe Ucros of Scotiabank. Please proceed with your questions.
Yes, good morning, Kimi, Esbeto, David. Thanks for the space for question and congrats on the results this quarter. Let me do a follow-up on labeling first. I think Beto mentioned that a third of the portfolio will contain, less than a third of the portfolio will contain labels. When you said that, do you measure it by sales or do you measure it by SKUs? That would be the first question. And then the second one has to do with the price reset for raw milk in Mexico. If I remember correctly, in your investor day, you mentioned that the price reset would occur every October. So I think we're more or less there. So my question is, what are you guys expecting for that formula reset? What kind of impact are you going to have? I imagine prices are going to go up because of devaluation, but I wanted to double check on that and see if you expect any impact on the margins in Mexico because of that. Thank you.
Yes. Hola, Felipe. Great talking to you. The first one, in terms of the follow-up on the labeling, it's when I was saying less than one-third, it's measured by sales, so by sales impact. Then to your second question, it's the different price increases which we have taken over the year already incorporate the estimation of our input cost inflation, which as we have been sharing in terms of and milk and others have been coming pretty much in line with inflation. But again, the equation for us in terms of our price structure and price increases already incorporated that. So no further impact is expected in Q4 related to that specifically. No, there are other things which we cannot control, and I cannot speak from that, but specifically on input cost, it's already incorporated into our pricing mechanism, let's say.
Great, Beto. That's great call.
Let me just add in terms of your question about cost. Of course, our policy has been always to increase prices according to evolution of our cost inflation. But at the same time, we are always looking for compensating any increase with productivities and efficiencies all across our value chain. And we continue to do so, particularly this year. We have done a good job in increasing efficiencies all along the company.
Very clear, Arquimedes and Beto, thanks for your comments. If I can do a follow-up on plant-based beverages, you mentioned that in the release as an area where the company had shined in Mexico, had performed very well. Can you tell us how market shares have continued progressing and how the consumer reacted during the crisis to those categories that were doing so well? Thanks.
Yeah, the category is doing well, and we are in line with that performance. Of course, you know that this is not a very large component of the beverage market, but it continues growing, and we are in line with that growing. And of course, as I said in my message, innovation is an important element of our strategy. And we are, of course, developing a new value proposition in this segment for the consumers in the coming year.
Great. Thanks for the comment and congrats on the results again. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next questions come from the line of Alvaro Garcia with BTG Pactual. Please proceed with your questions.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for the call. I have two questions. My first question is also on margins in Mexico. it would seem, as you mentioned, Beto, that there was that you passed price this quarter, and I'm just wondering if maybe we're in a bit of a sweet spot in the sense that you passed price this quarter, but you haven't seen the full extent of your raw material increases into next year. I know you can't really give guidance into next year, but just maybe commenting on if this was, you know, a sweet spot of a quarter. And then the second question is for Archimedes on just would love to get your pulse on the Mexican consumer. You know, where do you see purchasing power today? I know it's difficult to probably measure this within your portfolio, but would you say maybe there's a trade down to Nutri within your portfolio, or you know, what's your sense of where the Mexican consumer is today? Thank you.
Sure. Hi, Alvaro. So on your first question in terms of margins for Mexico, it's also important to remember that we were benefiting from our Q1 and Q2 cost equation was pretty much hedged in terms of FX exposure. But we in Q3 we were not covered any longer. So the margin pressure coming from the US dollar from the Mexican peso devaluation has already been incorporated into the equation in terms of Q3. So we should not again expect a variation or a contraction of our margins related to that specifically.
That's very clear. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
Yes,
our next question comes from the line of Hector Maya.
Sorry, operator. We were missing one response from Archimedes. He was going to comment about the Mexican.
Sorry.
No, about the Mexican consumption.
Yeah, I was just going to add about your question on how do we expect consumer behavior in the coming months, particularly after price increases and the economic recession that we are facing in Mexico. I think that our products are still on a relative basis an affordable food. So I think that even with those factors against the purchasing power, we hope that we will continue maintaining the demand for our products.
Thank you. Our next questions come from the line of Hector Maya with Santander. Please proceed with your questions.
Hello, thank you very much for taking my questions. The first one would be regarding your taxes. Just wanted to know if you are also being audited by the tax authorities for more recent years, like from 2015 to 2019, and if that is the case, what would be your expectations about the results from these audits? And the second one would be about the fill. I had a little issue with my line, so sorry if this question was already asked, but wanted to know, regarding the 26% growth in sales in local currency, and to understand why that didn't fully translate into a margin expansion. Just to understand a bit more on what happened with the volumes and prices and the effect of your costs in Brazil. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure. Hi, Hector. On the taxes, yes, the answer here is very clear. We basically work on the base to calculate our taxes from 2013 and 2014. These were two audits that we had been working with the Mexican tax authorities over the last year or so. Both of them are now settled and closed, and we have not received any further notification of any other period regarding any further inquiry or audit on that respect. So nothing in our radar on that front. And by the way, the adjustment of the tax-based calculation for 2013 and 2014 would not affect the subsequent years. So we don't have that, let's say, issue or challenge in any of the subsequent years. So that's for the tax question. Now, on Brazil, basically what we were mentioning, Hector, is that we had around about 6% of volume expansion, and the rest was a price mix equation. And to your question on why we don't see that being, I would say, fall through into the EBITDA, it's pretty much because of the current situation in terms of the milk price in Brazil. Some of the government, as you know, has been subsidizing, importantly, with the Corona vouchers, some of the expenses of the lower class on the country. And this has put a lot of extra demand on milk as both as a bulk and as a finished product. And the prices of milk in Brazil over the last 6 months have been subsequently increasing one month after the other, getting, for instance, last month into the historical high in terms of price of milk. What can happen in the future? Well, we really don't know. The only thing we know is that the Brazilian government has already announced that they are reducing importantly these Corona vouchers over the next couple of weeks, and probably by the end of the year, this program would not exist any further. And what we are estimated is that this would probably put less pressure on the demand, and therefore prices should stabilize further. No, but that's the main reason of why we have not seen expansion in the Brazilian EBITDA margin this quarter.
Perfect, very clear. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the call back over to management for any closing remarks.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone, for joining our results call today. We look forward to talking to you on our next quarterly call. And, of course, please stay safe.
This does conclude today's call. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation, and have a great day.